Okay, so let's start like this. Now, there's four parashiyos. There's four parashiyos, right? When we get to this time of year, there's four special parashiyos that we read on four Shabbosos as we approach Adar and then going into Nisan. That's the four parashiyos. Parashat Shkolim, Parashat Zohar, excuse me, Parashat Poro, and Parashat Achilus. Right. So let's see over here. We have a copy of a page from the Mishnah Berurah. So we have the Shulchan Aruch on top and the Mishnah Berurah in the middle, towards getting towards the bottom of the page. So let's first examine the Shulchan Aruch over here. Shulchan Aruch, we have the Shulchan Aruch on top, Sif Aleph. So he tells us that Rosh Chodesh Adar Nisan. Right, so Rosh Chodesh Adar that's close to Nisan. Right, meaning to say, why do you have to say a Samach Nisan? Right, which month, which other month comes before Nisan? Right, the answer is that it's relevant in this year. Right, this year there's two Adars. Right, if you want to know which Adar we're talking about, the one that's Samach Nisan, the one that's near Nisan, the second Adar. So Shechalu is for Shabbos. This is talking about a case where it falls out on Shabbos, which it does not this year. But when it does, then Karen Pasha Shkolim, then we read Parashat Shkolim. Now what is Parashat Shkolim? What is that? Shehi Kisisa, right? That's Parashat Kisisa, which is actually next week's Parasha. Parashat Kisisa. So you start from the beginning of Kisisa. Abzal Sisa Kira Nechisha. Until the next section in the Torah, which talks about making the Kiyar in the Mishkan, which starts off with Al Sisa Kira Nechisha. Right, so that is what's called Parashat Shkolim, is that portion of the Torah that starts off Kisisa, and it goes until Al Sisa Kira Nechisha. And it discusses, as we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah, but we'll see that it discusses there about that Hashem commanded that in the Jewish people that each person give a shekel, half a shekel, as a donation for the Beit HaMikdash. So we read that parasha, and the Mishnah Berurah will explain to us why. So we read that parasha that discusses that topic. And the Shulchan Aruch continues over here, Maftir, Vayichro Yisiho Yodo, right, the Haftorah is Vayichro Yisiho Yodo. Fine, so let's skip the rest of Halacha Aleph, because it's not relevant to us. It's talking about when it comes out on Shabbos, so it's, then there's going to have to take out three separate Torah, because it's on Shabbos, you have to read the Parsha for Shabbos, and you have to read from the Torah for a Shchedesh, you have to read a Shchedesh reading, and you also have to read Parsha Shkolim. So there's all sorts of Halachas that come up because of that. So let's skip down to it's Hey. It's four lines from the bottom, about three words into the line, is the Hey. Now it tells us, Chal Rosh Chodesh Adar HaSomach LeNisan. Right? If the Rosh Chodesh of Adar, which is near Nisan, again, the second Adar this year, right? And when there's two Adars, it's the second Adar. When that comes out, Toich Yimei HaShavua. Right? Before we spoke about when it comes out on Shabbos. Now we're going to talk about when it falls out during the week. So what happens when it falls out during the week? V'asilu be'erev Shabbos, right? Even if it's on Erev Shabbos. In Makdimin Likrois Parashat Shkolim B'Shabbos Shlofon. Then we go earlier, right? When it falls out on Shabbos, then we read Parashat Shkolim on that Shabbos. When Rosh Chodesh Adar is on Shabbos, we read Parashat Shkolim on that Shabbos. The question is, what happens if it doesn't fall out on Shabbos? Right, it falls out in the middle of the week. So do we do it before Rosh Chodesh or after Rosh Chodesh? So over here, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that when the Adar that's next to Nisan comes out in the middle of the week, even on Erev Shabbos, sure, please. Sure, no problem. When the Rosh Chodesh of the second Adar comes out during the week, so then the Shulchan Aruch tells us, even if it's Erev Shabbos, we go back to the previous Shabbos and read Parashat Shkolim on the previous Shabbos. And even if Rosh Chodesh is on Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos, maybe you'll say, right, the Shabbos after it is right next to it, maybe it's more appropriate to read Parashat Shkolim on that Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch tells us, there's an opinion like that in the Gemara, right, but Shulchan Aruch tells us that we follow the other opinion in the Gemara, which says that we always go before. If Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbos, you read it on that Shabbos, but during the week, you go to the Shabbos. And that will suffice for our purposes now. Fine. So now, back to that halacha we see in Shulchan Aruch. We see halacha in Shulchan Aruch is it's something called Parashat Shkolim, which we're told is the first section of Parashat Kisisa, and that is either read on Rosh Chodesh Adar, the Adar that's next to Nisan, meaning the second Adar in a leap year, the second Adar, the Adar that's close to Nisan, is read when the Rosh Chodesh of that Adar, the Rosh Chodesh of that month falls on Shabbos, you read it on that Shabbos, or falls out during the week, you read it on the previous Shabbos. Now, what's this Parashat Shkolim all about? What are these four parashiyos all about? So let's go to the Mishnah Berurah. There's a box around the Aleph for the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah over here. So let's read this inside and see what he tells us. He says, Shredish Adar, he says, Avair Bekitzer, Inyan Dalat Parashiyos. I'm going to give you a quick summary of the idea of the four parashiyos, what's it all about. So he tells us who and it is. Chazal Tiknu. Chazal, our rabbis, they established, they instituted, Likrois Dalit Parashiyos B'Shana. Read four special parashiyos, four special portions of the Torah B'Shana over, during the year. Which time during the year? We're in the Mishnah Brura, in the right-hand column, about the second line. Right. The rabbis, they instituted to read four parashiyos during the year, starting from Meir Shredish Adar, in this period of the year, which begins with Shredish Adar, Adar Shredish Nisan, and goes until Shredish Nisan, with Zichroin Dalit Dvarim. Right, to remember four things. Each parasha, each special portion of the Torah that we read, it's coming as a remembrance to remind us of four different things. Zehein Elu. Right, these is what they are. Right, in short. Harishayin hi parasha shkolim. Right, the first parasha, the first one that we read is parasha shkolim. The zichroin mitzvahs machzis ha-shekel, shiis bar b'samuch. Right, as a remembrance to the mitzvah of machzis ha-shekel, shiis bar, that will be explained b'samuch. So the next piece of Mishnah Berurah, he's going to explain it more at length, because that's what this first Seif and Shulchan Aruch was talking about. So with those to explain that, so first he's going to give you a quick summary of all four parashiyos, and then he's going to go and expound more and give us a more detailed explanation of what these four parashiyos are all about. So he tells us the idea of Parashat Shkolim is that it's a remembrance in the mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel. It's going to be explained in the next piece. So Yimchuyavim Litein Lelishka L'Korban HaTamid B'Chol Shana. They were obligated, right, the Jewish people were each obligated to give to the Lishka, right, to give to the Beis HaMikdash. The Lishka is the room in the Beis HaMikdash. Each person was obligated to give. Why? What were they giving this money for? The Korban HaTamid. Right, every day, twice a day, they had to bring a communal Korban. Right, every single day in the Beis HaMikdash, there was two Korbanos that were brought. If no one else came to bring Korban, these Korbanos were always brought. Day in, day out, Shabbos, Yom Tov, during the week, always. One in the morning and one in the afternoon. Right, so where did the money to buy those Korbanos come from? That came from these half shkolim. The half shkolim that everyone had to donate once a year, those half shkolim that everyone gave were used to buy these communal Korbanos. These Korbanos that are on behalf of the entire Jewish people, they were bought twice a day. This shkolim went towards purchasing the animals for those Korbanos. The Chol Shana, every year, right? It's brought, right? Every year we have to make another collection to have money to buy the animals for these Korbanos Tamid, for the sacrifices that are brought every single day, twice a day, on behalf of the entire Jewish people. So that is a quick summary of what Parashat Shkolim is. Now, Mishnah Berurah continues. Hashniyah hi Parashat Zohar. The second one is called Parashat Zohar. Lizkar, to remember, Ma'ase Amalek. The story and the incident with Amalek. What happened with Amalek? It was a war with Amalek. They attacked us when after we left Mitzrayim. The Koyin Oysa B'Shabbos Lefnei Purim. And we read it on the Shabbos that precedes Purim. Why? L'samcha L'ma'isa Shehoya Mizera Amalek. Right? To make it proximal, to put it near the story that was, that happened with the child of Amalek. Right, who was the child of Amalek? Most famous have the child of Amalek is Haman. Haman, so the story of Purim is a story of Haman. Therefore, we want to read the parasha, the section that deals with the first incident, the first clash between the Jewish people and Amalek. And then Amalek, so we read that near the time when we have Purim, which celebrates a different incident with Amalek, with the progeny of Amalek. And also to precede the mentioning, the remembrance of wiping out Amalek before the action, before the celebration of the fact that we wiped out Amalek, we killed Haman and those who conspired with him, which is on Purim. So we want to first have the remembrance, we want to first mention, read in the Torah, the portion that deals, that talks about destroying, wiping out Amalek, and then later we're going to have the celebration of Purim, which also celebrates, right, through action, right, not through, the first you do the remembrance through reading, through words, and then later on Purim we'll do the celebration through action of celebrating the destruction of Amalek, celebrating this, that we killed Haman and that we were saved from him, which is on Purim.
Why do we read the Purim? about remembering Amalek versus the actual portion in which describes Amalek coming on the scene, and the actual the incident itself versus the Dvarim when we actually read, which only talks about the incident rather than refer back to the incident itself.
The section that we talked about, the wiping out Amalek, the first one we actually haven't talked about that? Right, doesn't talk about that. I think the idea is we want to mention the wiping out of Amalek, that we're obligated to wipe out Amalek. It's sort of supposed to be like a little pep talk, right, to get everyone all worked up that we should go. And obviously that now it's not relevant, we can't do it, where our hands are tied by various, whatever it is, different reasons, but that's the idea. The idea is to get ourselves riled up, right, to go take care of Amalek, do what we have to do.
Right, but if one has read the portion in Mishala, what do you say about that as well?
So the person mishpaches off, right, they could fulfill their obligation on Purim when they read that portion. Okay, let's move on. Right, it says in the pasuk in the Megillah of Hayom Moelan these days in Nizkarim, right, it says the order is Nizkarim, they're mentioned, Vinasim also done. Right, so the Chira, the mentioning, the reading of the portion of the Torah precedes the Vinasim, the doing, the action of the celebration of Purim. That's two down, two to go. Right, those are the first two parashiyos. Hashlishis, the third of the four parashiyos of the four portions, he parashas Paro Aduma. Right, that's the portion of Paro Aduma. It talks about the Paro Aduma, which is the method to which a person who becomes tamei, who becomes impure from coming in contact with dead bodies, how does he purify himself? That's the Paro Aduma, the red cow, and the whole procedure that one has to do in order to be able to purify himself from tumas meis, the impurity that comes from coming in contact with a dead person. Right, so that portion is read, he the Shabbos shekoydim parsha. That is read on the Shabbos that precedes Parsha Chodesh, right? The fourth Parsha is going to be Parsha Chodesh. So on the Shabbos that precedes Parsha Chodesh, that's when we read Parsha's Parah, the section of the Torah that talks about Parah Aduma, the red heifer. Why is it red then? Shekein Hoya. That's the way it was. They fasted by Midbar, then when they burnt it in the Midbar, that's part of the procedure of preparing the Parah Aduma to be able to purify a person, right? It has to be burnt, right? So it was burnt in the Midbar. When they were in the Midbar, when did they burn the Parah Aduma to prepare the ashes of Parah Aduma, which could be used to purify people? When did they do that? Samach l'Nisan, right? They would prepare it near Nisan, right? Near the beginning of Nisan. Why? In order to be able to sprinkle it on, to sprinkle on Jewish people, the mixture that contains the ashes of the Parah Aduma. Right? The Mishkan was inaugurated, right, on the beginning of Nisan, the first day of Nisan. Therefore, in order that when the Mishkan is inaugurated, everyone should be able to participate and be able to come to the Mishkan and be able to receive the Brim Pesach. Therefore, right before Nisan, that's when they prepared the ashes of the Parah Aduma to be able to purify people, so that when the Mishkan was finally inaugurated, people would be able to go to the Mishkan and bring the Brim Pesach. Kadesh Yu Tehoyrim, so people should be pure. The Yuchlu Lasis HaPesach Bezmanai, and they'll be able to make the Brim Pesach in the right time. And the kach, therefore, koyin parasha zu. So why do we have to read this parasha at all? There was a time when we're going to read it. It corresponds to the time when they actually prepared the ashes of the Parah Aduma when they were in the Midbar. But why read this parasha at all? Right, if you're going to read it, it's a good time to read it. A time that corresponds to when they burnt it in the Midbar. But why read it at all? The kach koyin parasha zu, this is the reason why we read this parasha at all. Let's parallel the fun of Yisbarach. To pray in front of Hashem. Shigam oleinu Yizroik Mayim Tahirim B'Mehera. As soon as they should come, when Hashem should figuratively sprinkle purifying waters on us, when Hashem should come, we should come back to Hashem and have the redemption and with Mashiach, and Hashem will purify us from all our impurities that we picked up along the way throughout Zion. So Hashem, that they should come soon, we dive into Hashem the same way that when they had the Beis HaMikdash, and even after they had the Beis HaMikdash, when they had access to the ashes of the Parah Aduma, they were able to purify themselves like that. So Hashem, they should come very soon when Hashem will purify us with the redemption from this exile.
Why don't they ask the question here, but not with Shkolim?
Well, he's going to discuss Shkolim more later.
Okay.
Right, yeah. Parazias, the fourth of the four parashiyos, is Parashat HaChodesh. Is called Parashat HaChodesh, but Shabbos HaSamach of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Right, and the Shabbos, that is right before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. or if Shchedus Shlishi is on Shabbos, then it will be on that Shabbos. Right, and then once we know it's Parshas Parshas, then the one before that is going to be Parshas Parah. Right, Parshas Parah doesn't have a specific Shabbos, right? First you have to figure out when Parshas Parah is going to be, then you can work backwards and figure out when Parshas Parah is. So why we read that? Because they look Kadesh Chodesh Nisan. In order to sanctify the month of Nisan, to herald, to announce the approach of the month of Nisan, the Chsiv Batin HaTorah, HaChodesh HaZeh Lohem Moish Chodoshim. Right, that this month should be for you the head of all months. So this is the beginning of the year as far as months are counted, right? As far as the year is counted, as far as Rosh Hashanah, but as far as months are counted, the first month, when you count months, is the month of Nisan. So this, the beginning of this month, signifies the beginning of a new cycle of months. Therefore, we want to announce it, announce its arrival. That's why we read Parshat HaChodesh. I will end the Ikra Kiddush. Right? Don't think this is the Ikra Kiddush. This is actually what makes the month. This is what actually what makes Rosh Chodesh. This reading of it is what sanctifies Rosh Chodesh and makes that baby Rosh Chodesh. Ikra Kiddush, who be'eis ri'iyas halavona. Right? The main sanctification is when we see the new moon. Right? We know we now we have a calendar, but before they had a calendar, then when the people saw the new moon, they would come to Beis Din. They would testify they saw the new moon, and then once they had that, then Beth didn't go and sanctify the new month and say when Rosh Chodesh would be. So this reading of Parshas HaChodesh is not going to actually Rosh Chodesh take place on a certain day. Rather, that we have to wait for people to see the new moon, but it's sort of like an announcement that so the Rosh Chodesh is approaching, and that's appropriate. It's a very significant Rosh Chodesh. It's more significant Rosh Chodesh than other Rosh Chodeshim because it's the first month. The Rosh Chodesh is the first month. Therefore, it's more significant, so we want to announce it.
So they'll know it could be Parshas Chodesh by the fact that they're going to look at the moon and see that it's just less than half. Is that
well, I guess we know Rosh Chodesh is always going to be one of 2 days, right? It's either going to be the 30th or the 31st, right? So we know when it's coming up, right? You know,
I'm saying without the calendar, right?
But the time they see the moon, Shemit Kachelet Yah Bezdin. That's when Bezdin sanctifies it. Vein Akriyah Hazlis Amam Drabanon. This is they read the Parshas Chodesh. That's only Drabanon. Okay, so that's a quick synopsis. Maybe not so quick, summary of the four parshiyot. So now, let's get back to the main focus over here, which is Parshas Shkolim. So continuing in the Mishnah Berurah. Kayin Parshas Shkolim. Right, read Parshas Shkolim. So why do we read Parshas Shkolim? Right, Mishnah Berurah promised us we'll get back to that. So now he's going to tell us. So Amar Kro, the pasuk says, Zoyis Oylas Chodesh B'Chodshoy L'Chodshoy Ashono. This is Oilas Chodesh B'Chodshoy L'Chodshoy Ashono. Right, this is talking about the special Musaf carbon that's brought on Rosh Chodesh. And it says, Zoyis, this is Oilas, the Oila of the carbon Oila, right? Carbon Oila is a carbon that's totally burnt, right? There's no meat going to the owner of the carbon, right? It's the carbon that a person donates, dedicates it, brings it to Beit HaMikdash, they slaughter it, put the blood on the Mizbeach, and all the parts of it are burnt, there's nothing left over for anyone to eat. So this is the Oila of Chodesh of the month, B'Chodshoy, right, by the inauguration of the new month, L'Chodshoy Ashono, for all the months of the year. That's what the pasuk says, right? It describes what exactly you have to bring as the carbon. It says this is the carbon that's brought on the Rosh Chodesh for the Chodshoy Ashono, for the month of the year. So the Mishnah Berurah tells us, V'hai L'Chodshoy Yiseiruhu. Right, this word L'Chodshoy, it says for the month of the year, it's extra. Right, this is the carbon you bring on Rosh Chodesh. Why do you have to add on the Chodshoy Ashono, the month of the year? Well, the month of what else? Why do you have to say the Chodshoy Ashono? Elo on the Torah, rather the Torah is telling us, Yeshlecha Chodesh, Shasa Torech L'Chodshoy, B'havoas Oilois T'midinu Musafin, B'shuma Chadosha. Rather, there's one special month that you need to inaugurate in that month, B'havoas was bringing Oilois carbon oilois midin, which includes a carbon tomid, the carbon that's brought every day, twice a day, musafin, and musafin with shuma chadasha. So it becomes a certain month, when in that month, we use money from a new collection. There's a new collection, we collect money, and we have to start using money from that new collection. We can't use the old money anymore. There comes a certain month that we have to use the money from the new collection, and the money from the old collection expires. What do you do with the old ones? I'm not sure. It's discussed in Sechus Shkolin. I don't remember offhand. We encourage questions on topic or off topic. We encourage all questions. Zehu Nisan. Right, which month is that going to be? That's going to be the month of Nisan. How do we know that? The Gamrinon, the Gemara, we learn in the Gemara of Zeva Shavu. The Zeva Shavu Shechodesh Zeh Hu Chodesh Nisan. That this month is the month of Nisan. Fine. Now, the Kivon Zibin Nisan Boi Lekruvei Mishru Machadosha. Right now, we established that, okay, with all the technicalities, how we get it, with the Pasuk and the Drosha, the Zeva Shavu, all the things, fine. What's important is at the end of the day, we know that when it comes to Nisan, when it comes to Chodesh Nisan, we want to buy the Karbana, if we want to buy the animals for the Karbana to Chodesh Nisan, for the Tamidim, the Karbana that are brought every day, the Musafin, the extra Karbana that are brought on Rish Chodesh and on Yom Tif. You know, comes Nisan, we have to start bringing, we have to start buying the Karbana from a new collection of money. Therefore, the Kivan to Nisan, void the Kruvim Mitzvah Chadasha, since we need to start bringing, we have to start purchasing the Karbana from a new collection of money, Lekach, therefore, Makdiminon Umashmeinon Alashkolim Be'adon HaSomachloi. Therefore, right, we look ahead, right, we have foresight, and we know that in comes Nisan, we're going to have to start bringing Karbanas from a new collection. Therefore, we know that people take their time. Therefore, when it starts, the Adar that's near Nisan, and that Adar starts, right away we make announcements, tell everyone, bring your donations, bring your Machtasekel, bring your donations for the new Karbanas. Start bringing them. Everyone, where we make an announcement at the beginning of the month, everyone starts getting ready to bring them and bring their donations to Beit HaMikdash. Therefore, in Lekach Makdiminon, we go ahead, U'mashmi'inon al Ashkolim, right, and we make an announcement about the Ashkolim, Ba'adar HaSomachloi, in the Adar that's near Nisan, Shioviyu Shikleihem Rosh Chodesh Nisan. They should bring their donation by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Fine. So that's what they did with the Beit HaMikdash. Right, that's the main idea of the Ashkolim. Right, that's the idea of the skull. That's to us, obviously, because we don't have a Beit HaMikdash. That's the difference. When there was a Beit HaMikdash, when they brought Karbanes, that was the idea behind the skull. Right, at the beginning of Adar, they would make an announcement for everyone to bring the skull in, because it has to all be in by the beginning of Nisan. So what does that do with us? So why are we reading Pasha Skolim? So Mishabur tells us that the Anu Mishalmin Ponim Fosenu. So to speak, we compensate for the parim, they're literally cows, svasenu with our lips, right? This gives us the concept, right, that we can't drink carbonates, but how do we compensate for that, so to speak? To whatever extent we could compensate for it, how do we compensate for that? Through our lips, through tefillah. Tefillah takes the davening, takes the place of the carbonates, right? That's the idea of nishal parim svasenu, that are the utterance of our lips. But we daven should compensate, take the place of the parim of the cows that are supposed to be brought as carbonates. So here it's a slightly different application, but we use the utterance of our lips as a replacement for the carbonates, the kriyat ha-parsha of shel kisisa, with reading the parsha of kisisa, the chsiv ba'inyin ha-shkolim. That is, we can't actually give shkolim to Beit HaMikdash now. So how do we compensate, or so to speak, how do we replace that? We replace that by reading the portion of the Torah that talks about giving the shkolim. Right, that's sort of our way of connecting to, of relating to this mitzvah of giving a shkolim. Right, it's a mitzvah that especially now we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, the mitzvah that we long for, something that we really would like to do. We want to compensate what we don't have. So what do? We read the parsha, we read the portion of the Torah that deals with, that talks about giving a shkolim, and that should somehow, as much as it could compensate, it could replace, it could give us a connection to that mitzvah of giving the skull to the Shabbat, right?
That's important that we read it, right?
No. We read it on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar is next to Nisan. So the Shabbat makes it very clear over here. That how does he understand what Pasha Shkolim is all about? Because Rosh Chodesh understands that Pasha Shkolim is the way to replace, to compensate for the bringing of the skull. Right, the reading of the Shkolim represents the giving of the Shkolim. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So now, let's just skip those brackets and see another, a little bit more than a line over here, and then we'll go back to discuss that a little more. Now, if we just skip past the brackets and see where it's underlined, it says, an Eirah, if it occurred, Shaloi Koru HaParasha, that they didn't read the parasha Minyanim Shel Yoyim, the appropriate parasha, the appropriate reading for the day. Right? They missed it. They were supposed to read parasha Shkalim. They forgot. They didn't do it. Ain't Tashlum the Shabbos Habo. Right? You can't make it up. That's it. It's lost. Right? There's nothing you can do about it anymore. Fine. That's what he says. So now, let's go back to the second parasha Shkalim. So what did Mishnah Berurah tell us? Mishnah Berurah told us pretty clearly that the reason why we read parasha Shkalim is to take the place of the giving of the Shkalim. Now, if we turn to the next page, the other page, then we'll see that in the Gemara and Rashi, they seem to paint a different picture over here. Right? According to the Shabur, it should come out that there would be no reason to read Parashat Shkolim when there wasn't a Beis HaMikdash. Right? If reading Parashat Shkolim replaces bringing the Shkolim, then if you bring the Shkolim, there's no reason to read Parashat Shkolim. So we take a look on the top of the next page, on the right-hand side, it says Megillah Chavtes Amud Beis. Right, so the first line of there says Hashkolim Minolon. Right, the Mishnah says, right, very similar to what we saw in Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah says that on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar, we read Parashat Shkolim. Right, so it says Allah. Right, and so the Gemara over there brings a Mishnah at the beginning of the second Shkolim. It says Be'echad Ba'Adar on the first of Adar Mashmi'in Al Hashkolim. Right, we make an announcement. We inform people that it's time to bring the Shkolim for the new donation for the Beit Hamikdash for the Karbonah. So Minolon, how do we know that we're supposed to make an announcement, we're supposed to inform people about giving it. So Omar Reb Tovi, Omar Reb Yoshio. So Reb Tovi says the name of Yoshio. The Omar Kra, this sounds familiar to us, we just saw it in the Mishnah Berurah. The Pasuk says, Zois Oilas Chodesh Bechadshoi. Right, this is the oil, the carbon oil that's brought on Rosh Chodesh Bechadshoi when the new month starts. Omar Taira, we learned today, the Taira says, Chadesh. Right, renew the Havei and bring carbon, bring the sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash, Mitruma Chadasha. Right, and the new donations, from taking off money from the new donations and using them to buy carbon. Now, the Kivon, the Nisan Boi Kruve, Mitruma Chadasha, since when it comes to Nisan, that's the deadline. That's when we have to start bringing. Right, from that, the money that we took from the new donations, the Nisan Boi Kruve, Mitruma Chadasha, we have to start bringing from the new money that was collected and then we took off money from. If a kadminon the korinon be'echad ba'ador kihechi the leisu shkolim lemikdash. Therefore, we go ahead earlier and we read on be'echad ba'ador on the first day of Adar kihechi the leisu shkolim so that people should bring the shkolim to Beit HaMikdash. Right, and the Gemara continues to say that what do we read? We read the parasha of Kisisa. Right, the Gemara seems to indicate that this reading of the beginning of parasha Kisisa. Right, is the way in which we announce, the announcement that we make for people to bring the Shkolim. Right, the reading of Parashat Shkolim, of the beginning of Parashat Kisisa, which talks about the bringing of the Shkolim, is not in place of the bringing of the Shkolim. Rather, in the time when they actually bring the Shkolim, we read this portion of the title as a way to remind people, to inform people that it's time to bring the Shkolim. That was the purpose of the reading of Parashat Shkolim, reading of this parasha, to remind people hear the reading of the parasha, they say, it's almost Nisan, I have to bring my donation before Nisan. Right, so the Gemara seems to have a different understanding over here than the Mishnah Berurah. Right, the Gemara was they can't really argue with each other, but the Gemara seems to paint a different picture over here. The Gemara seems to say that the role of the reading of Parashat Shkolim is a way of announcing and reminding people that it's time to bring the Shkolim, the new donation, to the Beis HaMikdash. And if you take a look on the left side of that one, at Rashi and Megillah, Chavtes Amud Aleph, right there, the Mishnah says that on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar, we read Parashat Shkolim. So Rashi tells us, Lehoidia, to inform people, Sheyaviu Shekleihen Ba'Adar, that they should bring their donations during the month of Adar, Kidei, so that Sheyakrivu Be'echad B'Nisan, Mishum HaChadosha. Then we should be able to bring karbanis already on the first day of Nisan from the new donations, now which we take off the money from the new donations to purchase the karbanis. Rashi is clear. L'hoidia, what's the reason why we read Parashat Shkolim? L'hoidia, to let people know that they should bring the Shkolim. It's not in place of the Shkolim, rather even when people are actually bringing the Shkolim, there's no reason to read in place of the Shkolim, because they're bringing the Shkolim, but still it's clear in the Gemara and Rashi that is still a need to read of Parashat Shkolim. The idea of Parashat Shkolim is a way of reminding people and informing people that they should bring the Shkolim to Beis HaMikdash. Now, we might say that now there is no Beis HaMikdash, why do we read it? So, okay, it could be the idea is that we carry out this practice anyway as a reminder of the time when they did bring the Shkolim. Right, that could be the idea, but it's clear that the idea of Pasuk Shkolim is not just as a compensation to take the place of the giving of the Shkolim. Rather, Pasuk Shkolim is an institution that preceded that. Right, there was even a time when they were bringing the Shkolim, even a time they actually did bring the Shkolim, still Pasuk Shkolim was instituted as a reminder that the time for bringing the Shkolim is coming. Yes.
Maybe there's a distinction between the reason why? But should we read it in the days when they brought it, and the distinction between, and now, when we don't bring it, it's for another reason.
Well, okay, the original institution is no reason to say that it goes away. I'm saying Rashi tells us in the Mishnah the reason why we read it is based on that Mishnah. Rashi tells us what's the reason for it. Rashi tells us the reason for it is because to inform people, that it's a way of informing people, and maybe we carry out the practice of informing people because we yearn for it to be able to bring it ourselves. That could be the idea, but it's clear that it's, the institution is not solely based on that.
Mm.
Okay, now I would like to show that this. Seeming inconsistency between what the Mishnah Berurah says and what seems clear from the Gemara and from Rashi might not just be a theoretical issue. Might not just be a question of exactly what does it symbolize, that it might actually affect a practical issue. That we know that when we read the four Parshiyos on the Siman Shabbosos, right, especially Parshas Zohar and Parshas Parah, right, everyone knows they have to be careful to try to hear it well. We have to have in mind to fulfill our obligation by hearing it. They usually make an announcement beforehand. Everyone should be quiet. Everyone should make sure to listen carefully and have in mind to fulfill the obligation. Right. So, if you go to some places, you'll hear that in addition to saying before Parshas Zohar, right, Parshas Zohar is for sure Ben Atayra, it's not for sure that we hold that it's Ben Atayra. There are those who disagree with that, but at least we, the accepted halacha is that it's an obligation Ben Atayra, it's a biblical obligation. Therefore, we have to be especially stringent with it. Therefore, so that everyone's more stringent with Parshas Zohar. So if you come to certain shuls, you'll hear that before Parshas Zohar, they not only announce that you should have in mind to fulfill your obligation to listen to the actual reading, and fulfill your obligation of the reading of Parshas Zohar, they'll also announce you should have in mind that when the person who's getting the aliyah makes the bracha, you should have in mind to fulfill your obligation to the yotzei, to fulfill your obligation with the bracha. Parshas Zohar. The saying of the bracha. You have to be yotzei saying of the bracha. The saying of the bracha.
Oh, yeah. So that it becomes as if you said the bracha.
Right. Correct. Well, sit down and we'll inform you. Okay. So let's take a look. But the main source of this seems to be from the Taz. The Taz is a commentary in the Shulchan Aruch. The Taz is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. Over here, Sibin Tofresh Tehei. It's gotten vague. If we look on the next thing on this second page, we see toward the end of the first line, I hope this is readable, where it says, "Ulanius daiti nira." There's a discussion in the Taz about whether we can call up a minor for Parshas Zohar. Right? If you had the Aliyah of Parshas Zohar, can we call up a minor? Right? So he brings in the opinion of the Marshal, who says that we can't. The Marshal of Shlomo Luria, he says that we can't. Then you have the opinion of the Bach, who was the father-in-law of the Taz, he says that you could. Now the Taz says, and my opinion is, Lamia's daiti. Nira, it would appear to me that what? There's a distinction. There's two kinds of katanim, two kinds of minors. It depends which kind of minor we're talking about. It says, Dibikaton she'ein yoidei alami mevarchin, that if the minor has not reached the age, or has not reached the to know to who we are blessing when we say a bracha, who are we talking to, who are we addressing, so if he has not reached that maturity, right, then ein yoitin yidei ha-bracha al yodoy, right, so we can't fulfill the bracha, we can't fulfill the obligation of making the blessing through him. His saying the bracha can't help us achieve fulfilling the obligation of saying the bracha. The ein yoitin yidei kriya b'loy bracha. Right, he can't make us fulfill the obligation to take the blessing, and the ein yoitin yidei kriya, he can't fulfill the obligation of reading Parshas Zohar b'loy bracha, without saying a bracha, right? So if we don't have the bracha, right? No, he's saying a bracha. We're not saying the bracha, right? So if we can't fulfill the obligation to say the bracha through hearing him say the bracha, then this that we want to fulfill the obligation of reading through hearing the reading, but it's, whether the minor reads it or whether it's about Kaveh, someone else is reading it, it's not a minor. Right? Either way, if we're not fulfilling the obligation of the bracha, the Talmud tells us, fascinating thing, if we're not fulfilling the obligation of the bracha, of the blessing, then we're not going to fulfill the reading.
I know we're going through the process and we may be, you know, three or four steps away from what we decided. But the practice here has been that at the end of davening, when, you know, especially for people that couldn't make it to when they actually had months here, that we read, somebody goes, you know, Balkari, usually a different Balkari, but a Balkari goes up there and reads, I once went up there and asked the person who was the Balkare, who should we give the aliyah to? He said, well, we'll just put aliyah there.
Right, yeah, there's only, but this is not brought in Shtabura, this is a stringency that some people have, Pashas Ocher, they want to be especially careful, they do it, this seems to be the opinion of the time.
This is a wrong opinion.
It could be some of those, there are those who accept it, they say that some safer, would announce in his shul that people should have in mind to fulfill the obligation of the bracha.
Somebody else will make a bracha for me. Somebody who didn't hear the bracha.
Well, you have to know if you could, depending on the situation, you might be able to call someone up, you might not someone up. It depends on the situation.
If a woman's landing, then she can call someone. I know that happens with Pete, yeah.
Right.
Maybe Sherry Charles.
All right. All right. We'll stay out of the politics.
I see being Billy Joel when you say
that's a real one. It looks like a toy one.
Okay, so.
I felt that I had something.
All right.
Firecracker.
All right, so fine. So this is he says, therefore, a minor who has to reach the maturity to recognize who we say a bracha to, who are addressing when we say a bracha, so we can't fulfill the obligation of the blessing with him. So even if he's not the one reading, and we fulfill the reading through someone else, but it's not going to work, because we can't fulfill the blessing, can't fulfill the obligation of making the blessing, then we will not fulfill the obligation of the reading either. Right. Therefore, we can't call up for Maftir, for the Aliyah of Pasha Zohar, a Katan, he might not know who we are blessing to. Aval, however, he says, if he does know to whom we are blessing, Nire would appear the Shapir Yosin. Right, then you could fulfill, that would work. Right, if he knows Lamim Mevarchin, right, he's already reached the maturity, he recognizes he's aware of who the blessing, who we are addressing when we make a bracha, when we make a blessing, so then we could fulfill the obligation of the blessing through him, right, even though he's a minor, right, but once he's reached the maturity, the obligation of chinuch, the obligation to educate him, right, to do the mitzvah even before he's a rabbinic obligation, but he has an obligation to fulfill the mitzvah even before he turns by mitzvah, before he becomes 13. And since he has a rabbinic obligation, therefore we could fulfill the obligation of making the bracha through him. Okay, fine. So that's sufficient for our purposes. But what we want to see from this Taz, that the Taz clearly makes this connection. Right? He says that the fulfillment of the mitzvah of reading Parsha is dependent on the fulfillment of the obligation to make the bracha on Parsha Zohar. Now this is very difficult, because the rule almost always is, that brachos ain't on ma'akos. Making the bracha the lack of making the bracha does not prevent fulfillment of the mitzvah. Let's say someone were to do a mitzvah, let's say lighting the Chanukah menorah, right? Let's say that, right? Someone doesn't make the bracha and he lights the menorah, he fulfills his obligation anyway, right? I have obligation, let's say, right? A perfect example, right? Is counting sfira, right? The mitzvah counts sfira. Right, between Pesach and Shavuot. Right, so let's say someone forgot one time, whatever it might be. Right, he can't say the bracha, or let's say he missed, he forgot to do it at night, or during the day. If he doesn't make a bracha, could he fulfill the obligation anyway? Sure. Right, he fulfills the obligation anyway. Because bracha is in a ma'akvah. The bracha that one is required to make for the mitzvah, if he doesn't do it, does not prevent him from fulfilling the mitzvah itself. Therefore, how can the Taz say over here that if we can't fulfill the mitzvah, we can't fulfill the obligation of making the bracha of Pashas Zohar, we can't fulfill the mitzvah of Zohar. Well, what happened to the rule that the lack of making the bracha doesn't prevent us from fulfilling the mitzvah? So this question is addressed by the Prima Godim, Mitzvah Tzav, with a commentary on the Taz. And we're not going to read it inside, but I'll tell it to you outside. It's going to take too long to read it inside. But what the idea that he says is that sometimes it's possible to have that the bracha will, the lack of making the bracha will prevent us from fulfilling the mitzvah. Right. Oh, so when the obligation to make the bracha is midiraisa, it's biblically mandated, then such a bracha, if we don't do it, that will prevent us from fulfilling the mitzvah. This is like this. It's actually a little more complicated than that. Let's try to work through this slowly. The idea is like this. The bracha, like, the Pasha Zohar is a mitzvah. Right? The mitzvah to read Pasha Zohar. Right? Even we'll assume that it's biblically mandated to read Pasha Zohar. It's a mitzvah of deraisa. That person has to read Pasha Zohar. But like all other mitzvahs, the bracha is the rabbanon. Right? The reason why making a bracha does not prevent the fulfillment is because the bracha, in most cases, is only the rabbanon. It's only rabbinically mandated. Right? Therefore, since the bracha is only rabbinically mandated, therefore, you can fulfill the mitzvah without making the bracha. Right? Ideally, you're supposed to make the bracha, because that's what the Rabbanon said, but if you didn't, it doesn't prevent you from fulfilling the mitzvah. Good. However, in this case, it's a little bit of a difference. The Ramban's opinion, his opinion is that the bracha, making a bracha on the Torah, birchas ha-Torah, and making a bracha before learning Torah, is a mitzvah mid-de-araisa. Right? The Torah obligates that we make a bracha before we learn Torah. That is the opinion of the Ramban. So what the Pina Gadim suggests over here is that since this mitzvah of Pasha Zohar requires reading from the Torah, now, and the mitzvah of reading from the Torah requires us, midairaisa, the biblical obligation before you read from the Torah to make a bracha, that since this mitzvah requires reading from the Torah, and reading from the Torah requires a min ha-Torah bracha, a biblically bracha, therefore they said that even the mitzvah of Pasha Zohar is going to depend on making that biblically mandated bracha. In other words, the mitzvah of Pasha Zohar itself does not require a bracha minat Torah. The obligation to make a bracha on Pasha Zohar is only drabbanon. It's only rabbinically mandated. But since in the process of doing Pasha Zohar, right, I was talking to Rabbi Langer about this, the words of Rabbi Langer, Pasha Zohar wears two hats. Right, there's a hat of the mitzvah of Pasha Zohar, right, and the hat of the mitzvah of reading Torah, reading from the Torah, learning Torah. It wears those two hats. Right? Now, each one requires a bracha. Right? The mitzvah of reading from the Torah requires a bracha midiraisa. Right? It's biblically mandated. The mitzvah of Pasha Zohar also requires a bracha. That bracha is only rabbinically mandated. However, since it's all one action, it's one reading of the Torah, therefore the Rabbanon said that this mitzvah of Pasha Zohar, since it involves making a bracha which is required midiraisa, it's involved a biblically mandated bracha, so therefore that biblically mandated bracha, even though it's not directly connected to the mitzvah of Pasha Zohar, it's directly connected to the mitzvah of learning Torah, but even though it's not directly connected to the mitzvah of Pasha Zohar, it is going to prevent you from fulfilling the mitzvah of Pasha Zohar if you don't say that bracha. If you don't have a bracha, right, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of Pasha Zohar because there's a biblically mandated bracha over here, not from the mitzvah of Pasha Zohar, from the mitzvah of learning Torah, but once the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Pasha Zohar involves a biblically mandated bracha, therefore even the mitzvah of Pasha Zohar will be held back by the lack of making that bracha.
Because it would not be considered a real reading unless you actually have a bracha to eat.
It is a real reading.
But would that be called actually a real reading for fulfilling your obligation as far as actually reading the Torah and sort of connected up actually with the...
I wouldn't say it exactly like that.
Okay.
I see another distinction. Maybe it doesn't fall within. A typical mitzvah requires some sort of a suya thing to do. If I shake a rule of an etrog, I'm doing something. So even if I don't make a bracha, but reading something is sort of it's not the same thing as doing something, so to speak.
Well, that is the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is what it is.
I understand, but the point is that the idea of you're also reading something or saying something as well. There's a complete difference in what you're doing when you say the bracha and you shake the lulav. One is
okay. I see. So you see more of a connection between the bracha and
the bracha and the mitzvah.
There's
a direct connection. Maybe there's an example that contradicts what I'm saying.
Sfiras Omer
is that considered midiraisa?
Yeah, sure.
Is it counting the Omer?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Okay. Fine. Fine. So that is what the Prima Gaudin says over here to explain this opinion of the Taz. Okay. Fine. Now, okay, it's a little complicated, but according to this explanation of the Prima Gaudin, it should come out, we should be able to differentiate between Parshas Zohar and, let's say, Parshas Shkolin. Because Parshas Zohar is a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Parshas Zohar. Right? The mitzvah of remembering Amalek, and it's fulfilled through reading Parshas Zohar. Parshas Shkolim, on the other hand, is not a real mitzvah. It's something that the Chazal instituted to do, but there's no mitzvah. You're not fulfilling a mitzvah when you do Parshas Shkolim. Right? There's some things that are not necessarily a mitzvah, but that Chazal prescribed, the rabbis prescribed for us to do. Right? So therefore, we could say that there's no bracha requirement at all for Parshas Shkolim. Right? It's possible to say that there's no bracha requirement. When there's a mitzvah, then you're supposed to make a bracha on it. For Pastor Shkolim, right, there's room to say that there's no bracha obligation at all. However, if you take a look at the bottom of the page on the left side, in the Shuvis Ba'anhogos, right, from Rav Moshe Sternbach, Shlita, lives in Eretz Yisrael, in Hanov. See, he writes over here, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but he writes that his opinion is that all of the Dalet Parashiyos require that we have in mind to fulfill the obligation of the bracha. When the person who gets the aliyah for any of the four parashiyos, when he makes the bracha, we should have anyone can feel free to leave if they like.
I'm about to pass out.
I see. All right, feel free. I'm not no hard feelings. So it's not Christine, you're entitled to leave. But
I don't believe in entitlements. So.
Okay.
That's another.
I don't believe in politics.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're a libertarian.
Okay. No. I believe everyone should be enslaved to me.
Oh,
okay.
You're a
fascist. All right. Fine. Okay. So he says that there's a difference between the four parashiyos and all other times you read the Torah. He says that when it comes to the other times you read the Torah, the idea behind it is that we're supposed to the idea of learning Torah. There should be learning Torah in public. We want to have a public reading of the Torah because everyone to make sure everyone learns some Torah. Right, so therefore the idea over there is that the Torah should be read in public. Not that they have to actually read those words. Right, they read the Torah, we hear it, we participate in the reading and learning of the Torah. Well, not Shemei Kain.
No?
The point is that it's not Shemei Kain. The point is that it should be read in public, and when you hear it, you're participating in learning of the Torah. Not that you don't. There's no obligation for you to say it yourself. Right, you hear it, and you're part of the Torah learning ceremony. Right, the ceremony of reading the Torah and learning the Torah, you're part of that by hearing it. Even you have no obligation to say it. When you're there, when we read it in public, so it's supposed to be read in public, that there should be a communal learning of the Torah.
Okay.
You don't need to necessarily to say it yourself, right? It's just the congregation as a whole has the reading of the Torah, and it's a Torah learning ceremony. However, when it comes to the four parashiyos, he says that Chayvam Yuchedes, it has a special obligation of learning Din Talmud Torah. It's not just an idea of learning Torah. The Yisoida Mitzvah Kriya, right? The fundamentally, right? It's an obligation of reading. The Yoytin Kol Echad Bazeh Chayvasei Midin Shemei Koine. Everyone has to fulfill. Everyone is obligated to read, and you fulfill your obligation through this idea of Shemei Koine. That when you hear, we can consider it like you said it. It says therefore, since each person has to read it, then each person has to make a bracha. Since the person who actually reads it, he has to make a bracha. So really, you're supposed to read it also yourself. Therefore, also you also need a bracha, right? If you're supposed to read it yourself and you need a bracha, so you're not reading yourself, you're not making the bracha. So you want to fulfill your obligation by hearing the person who does make the bracha and who does make the reading. Therefore, the same way when you want to fulfill your mitzvah of reading by hearing him read it, you have to have in mind to fulfill your obligation by hearing him read. So too, when you read it, you want to make the bracha, so you also have to fulfill your obligation to make the bracha by hearing him make the bracha. So therefore, he says, since all four parashiyos, a person is required to read, therefore, a person is also required to make the bracha, so a person also has to have in mind to fulfill the obligation of making the bracha by hearing the person get Aliyah make the bracha. So now, if we go back to the seeming inconsistency between the Mishnah Berurah and the Gemara and Rashi, right, so we might have very important. Well, what are the two ideas? And the Mishnah Berurah seems to say that the idea is that through saying it, it's as if we actually gave him after the shekel, we gave the shekel, right? But and the Gemara and Rashi seem to indicate that the idea is that it's supposed to be an announcement, right? It's an announcement for people to bring the shekel, right? So if you say like Mishnah Berurah, right, the idea is that it should be when we read it, it's as if we're bringing the shekel in, then it makes sense to say each person has the obligation to read, right? Each person wants to have this this compensation, so to speak, to have this in place of bringing the Machzor Shekel. Every person would have an obligation to bring the Machzor Shekel. Every person should read in place of bringing the Machzor Shekel. Therefore, so then, what Shimon Ben Hovis, what Sternbach is saying, would seem to fit. However, what it says in the Gemara, and it says in Rashi, that the idea is to make an announcement, the whole idea of the whole thing behind it is an announcement. So then, why should everyone have to say it? One person gets up and he makes the announcement in public and everyone hears it. There's no reason why every person has to say it. If that would be the case, like it sounds like in the Gemara and Rashi, then it would seem to follow that the person would not have to read it himself. He doesn't have an obligation to read it himself. He doesn't have an obligation to make the bracha. Then the person would have to have in mind to fulfill his mitzvah through hearing the bracha. Shkoyach. Thank you for listening.